Well, good morning. How's everybody doing? You've been spending the week breaking the crazy cycle, hopefully, with your spouses. Today we're going to start talking about how to get on the energizing cycle. And first we're going to talk to the men. And so as we go through this acronym that we're going to each husband and wife have an acronym for them to apply to their spouse. We will take comments from the floor about maybe what is good for you, or today it'd be from the women's perspective, because we're talking to the men. What our author and what I found in many cases to be what women like. Dawn and I took a little trip this week, and we were on a 5.5 hour drive, and I need to work on Sunday school, so she read through the chapters, and then she made some notes, and so I'm also going to mention what she found is important in the chapters today. So let's just open in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for your love for us. We thank you for your word, and even the difficult word that we studied this morning in 1 Corinthians. I just pray that we all take that to heart, and that it is a means of keeping us under control and prevent us from sinning. And just we thank you for a church that actually practices proper church discipline. Thank you for husbands and wives and for marriage that you've given to us. We just thank you for this wonderful relationship, and we just pray that you give us insights and continue to grow in our marriages and learn more about how to treat our husbands and treat our wives. And these things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So, ladies and gentlemen, husbands and wives, we have spent a lot of time, quite a bit of time, learning how to stop the crazy cycle. You know, we spent our first 4 weeks, well, 1 week was canceled, but the first 4 weeks were planned to be all very much a scriptural basis for marriage, for husbands, for wives, for the marriage itself. Looked at Ephesians a little bit more in depth. And then we moved on to the book, Love and Respect. And so for the last couple of weeks, we've been talking about the crazy cycle and how we get on it and how to break that crazy cycle, things to do to stop the crazy cycle. But now we need to look into things that will get us on the energizing cycle. For today, we're going to look at what we husbands can do to our wives, things that are going to feel unnatural for us, for some of us. And remember, there's a generalization, like these surveys, and even when we have take a poll in the class. Majority of men, maybe 70 to 80%, feel a certain way. That's not 100%. We know there's going to be differences. There's going to be marriages where the roles, or not the roles so much, God's roles are God's roles, but where the personalities or whatever are flipped. And so what we want to be doing is learning what our spouse needs, and whether it's in the guy's section or the girl's section, it's what our spouse needs is what we want to learn. Because husbands and sinners are... a speed reader, right? Because husbands and wives are sinners saved by grace, we can still end up on the crazy cycle. Husbands, we are looking at how to love your wife. What we cover today may not seem natural for all of you men, and that's okay. Remember, husbands are to love their wives like Christ loved the church. And that is such a daunting command for the husbands that if we really think about that, it should really humble us and change a lot of the ways we think about things. We've also learned, men, that love is not our mother tongue. It's not our native language. That's what the wives are all about. We're more about honor and respect. But when we're dealing with our wives, we have to be thinking about how they want to be treated. But as you live out several of these scriptural truths, which we're going to present today in the acronym of COUPLE, C-O-U-P-L-E, it will energize your wife. Guys, you need to understand that oftentimes when there's a conflict, the woman will move towards us and seem confrontational. We'll be confrontational, And we take that maybe as a wanting to control, wanting to run things. All she's usually wanting to do is to connect with us. And that's her way of doing it. Our tendency is to back away, move away, look away. But our wife's confrontation is often just a symbol or a sign that she wants to connect with us. So we have to be humble and just kind of take it, if you will, and realize that you have a good-hearted wife, and this is all good. Women confront to connect. Men tend to feel that it's just trying to control. Okay. All right, most of you know that I spent the last 32 years of my life flying jet airplanes and all over the country in Canada. When I first learned to fly, this was the basic six instruments that you learn how to fly by instruments only. This is what I ended up with my last several years in the last airplane we had. When you get into the clouds, you have no concept of up or down, right or left. You think you do because your inner ear tells you something. And your inner ear may say, oh, I need to turn a little bit right to get level. And you do that. And you ignore your instruments. And then you turn a little bit more to the right to get level. And this is for the untrained pilot who runs into clouds that they're not trained to fly in instruments. Though even your private pilots, right, Jim? Where's Jim? You have some basic instrument training, because what can happen is you can run into the clouds when you think you're going to be visual. Hazy conditions in the Midwest, and you've got to be able to go to those instruments and turn around. Happened to Dawn and me, we were with another couple. Hazy coming home before I had an instrument rating. This is back in the 80s, just flying a little one single engine, four-seater. Entered into the clouds. I realized it. I went to the instruments, and I immediately started a slow 180-degree turn and flew back out of the clouds and announced, we're going back to Madison because we can't get home tonight. And of course, the two women, yay, another night out. You know, we're kind of on a little vacation. But what unfortunately happens is that too many pilots continue on, I'll get through it, I can handle this, and then they get disoriented and they lose control of the airplane, or even there have been cases where it just slowly over time, the airplane ended up upside down and running into a mountain. And you sitting here thinking, well, that can't happen, but it can, because if you believe your feelings instead of reading your instruments, as a pilot, that's what can happen. As an experienced pilot, you know, then all of a sudden, that's gone. But in the beginning, you have to fight your feelings and what the instruments are saying. So, all that to say, men, we have to sometimes ignore what we're feeling or what we're thinking about our wife and read the instruments. And the instruments that we're going to present is in this word couple. These are going to be our six secrets, if you will, or our six basic instruments that we need to help us keep ourselves upright and in a good relationship, flying flying along just fine, okay? So this will energize your wife. This is how you spell love to your wife. Guys, remember, don't let what you see, what you hear, or seem to feel determine how you will interpret a situation. And that's the whole thing. We have to be able to interpret our instruments correctly in order to know what to do. And that's like when our wives are doing, saying, or acting in certain ways, we have to interpret that correctly, and we have to know their perspective, and these six things are going to help us do that. couple, which can put you on the energizing cycle instead of the crazy cycle, will show your wife that you love her. Okay? Remember, it's up to each of us to follow Christ in our marriage. And again, as I mentioned earlier, the husbands, we've got, like, in a sense, the wives have the toughest job because they have to deal with us. But scripturally, to treat our wives, love our wives like Christ loved the church, that's an awfully big order, and that's awfully difficult. Just a couple of thoughts here. There are situations where, you know, one or the other spouse has decided, biblical counseling or whatever, you know, I'm done, I'm out. And so in that case, all you can do is do what you are to do, what God has told you to do, to interact in the relationship, and then the other person is they're responsible to God for how they act or what they do. We had a friends, Dawn and I had friends early. It was her best friend from eighth grade, and they were both believers, we were friends, and all of a sudden, the wife is like, well, I know God wants me to be happy, and I'm not happy. And there's basically nothing Dawn or her friends or I don't know if pastor, they got some kind of Christian counseling, but it wasn't biblical and it wasn't good, and they ended up divorcing. So, I mean, that can happen, but if we have two good-hearted, like I think every couple in here, two good-hearted believers, things can be rough. We've all experienced rough patches, but we're going to work so that we can get through them and get to a much smoother ride. Also, not all these suggestions are for you. Pick the ones that match your spouse. Maybe some of the ones that are good for the guys are better for the wives, or vice versa. So remember, we're not all the same. Tailor these to your spouse. Talk about what your wife desires. This is a really good thing to do, is to sit down with your wife and say, okay, we went through this couple thing. What of those are really important to you? Find out what's important to your wife and then concentrate on those. And before I kind of talked about this, a man's tendency is to pull back from a conflict. It really bothered me when Dawn cried. I usually took it as I must have done something wrong. And sometimes that was true. But other times it had nothing to do with me, but I felt so awkward. I wanted to say, what do I need to fix this? But all she wanted was my shoulder to cry on. And I think I've learned that. I've done better with that. That I can, she's crying, I just hold her or hug, you know, and she cries on my shoulder. And then I find out, you know, it's, you know, nothing to do with me. I didn't do anything wrong. you know, whatever it was. And that was that's all she needed. It wasn't necessarily a situation needed to be fixed. It was just that she wanted a shoulder to cry on. And men, your wives look at you as that strong individual, and they want to rely on you. They want to be able to lean on your shoulder and cry if they need to cry. And so we need to learn to be comfortable with that. Okay. And again, in the conflict, it's not uncommon for a husband to feel like the wife is trying to control him, but usually she's just trying to connect. Okay, so the first C, yeah, let's see, do we have any Brazilian, people have been to Brazil, this is just, no, there's Dan, of course. If I can get my thing to work, I can't. There we go. Now, this is obviously, this is where instrument panels have come in the 30 years since I've been flying. And you have, it's called synthetic vision. So you have a picture of the horizon and the sky and everything on your instrument panels. But you can see here we're at 43,000 feet and 422 knots ground speed. And we're somewhere over Brazil. This is on our trip home from Brazil when we bought the airplane. Yeah. I'll tell you what. The Amazon jungle is huge. We spent hours flying over it. Okay. So C is for closeness. She wants to be close to you. You know, going back to Genesis 2:24, for this reason a man shall leave his father and his mother and be joined, cleave, to his wife. And they shall become one flesh. You know, to cleave, to hold on to, it's to cling, to hold, to keep close. And it's more than, the one flesh is more than just sexual. It's a spiritual and emotional closeness. And these are all the things that the wife wants. And the wife probably wants the spiritual and emotional more than the sexual. And sometimes the guys are a little bit the other way. But I think we all want all three. Your wife will feel loved when you move toward her and let her know you want to be close, with a look, you know, with a touch, just a smile. Sometimes that's so important to the wife, and the women prefer eye-to-eye contact. Guys tend to kind of look to the side. You know, I was thinking about, he used an example about Starbucks, and, you know, little tables there, and the women would get there, and they're just like this. Well, I remember I used to meet with a gentleman almost every week for, it seemed like years, and we met at Starbucks, and one of us was always sideways, and the other one was there, you know. So I mean, we kind of look at each other, but we didn't just stare in each other's eyes. That's just not comfortable for men. But guys, your wife wants that, and it's okay to stare into your wife's eyes, okay? It's okay. Okay. Now, for those of you who are still working, I had to get that in, right? Oftentimes, the first few seconds when you get home is really critical. You may have had a rough day at work, husbands, and all you want to do is plop in your favorite chair. You want the kids kept out of the room. Maybe you want the TV. Maybe you want the paper. Maybe you want nothing. But you know what? She might have had a rough day, too. If you don't think taking care of three kids all day is easy, for the most part of our marriage, I felt Dawn had the harder job. I had the easier job. And I think a lot of husbands and wives are in that situation. So, you know, go in the kitchen, help her with dinner. And if you're not the cooking type, at least sit at the table and talk with her while she's cooking dinner. Be there and ask her about, how did your day go, hon? Because if you ask how her day went and she gets the chance to share with you, real good chance she's going to then come around and ask you. Now, we don't tend to be as open, and we don't tell our wives all the terrible things that happened at work and all the people that were, you know, getting on us and this and that. But she wants to know more about what's going on in your life. So we need to learn to open up and tell more about what's going on in our life. The women value the connecting. When there's a confrontation, a lot of times the guys just, like, you know, they say drop it, and they mean it. And in their mind, it's over, it's done, and, you know, we're not going to bring it back, we're not going to call it. But to a woman, it isn't done, and women feel they need to come full circle and get the whole thing resolved. So guys, don't be intent on pulling out too quickly. Her confrontation, her coming towards you, it's for closeness. It's to connect. It's not to control. Again, we talked about face-to-face is important for the woman. Some good scriptures, Song of Solomon 3:4 and 2:6, but I would like to read Deuteronomy 24:5. I think this is kind of interesting. I can probably get it here. It's Deuteronomy 24:5, and it says, "When a man is newly married, he shall not go out with the army or be liable for any other public duty. He shall be free at home 1 year to be happy with his wife whom he has taken." And, you know, that's probably really good advice, and I don't know that our society or even believers that we really take it. Now, obviously, you still have to have a job, right? But other than your job, you could still have a full commitment to your spouse. Right after Dawn and I got married, we both worked that first summer, but then I went off to dental school, which was kind of a almost a 24/7 kind of a deal. It was not great for our marriage. It was not a good way to start it out, which is, I think, after 3.5 years of dental school, where we got into a problem where we sought the counseling. You've all heard the story, and we Lord worked it out for us. Praise the Lord. But that, just think about that first year of marriage for you newlyweds or those looking to get in that position. Concentrate on that first year of just being together and getting to know each other. Yes, you still have to work or maybe go to school, but let's hope it's an easy kind of schooling. Let's see. There was a study done with babies in cribs, and the girl babies would always look up of the crib to the people, men, women, whatever. That was, and they were just focused. The little boys would look at the people until they saw the fan, and then then they're just amazed at the mechanical fan, and that's more important to them than the people. Women look at someone when they listen. So when your wife and her friend, who's a female, you know, you can't say girlfriend anymore, right? When your wife, who's has a female friend, and they get together, they're looking eyes to eye and having their conversation. We tend to feel uncomfortable with that. Men, we have to learn to not be uncomfortable with that, because it's our wife, and that's a way of her connecting with us. It shows that we're listening. But women, if you've been insulted by your husband not looking at you, looking away, especially if it's a little dicey of a conversation, it's kind of our honor code. You know, I'm not going to sit with Jared at Starbucks, and we're not just going to glare at each other. You know, that's almost like a challenging. You know, we'll make kind eye contact once in a while, but you know, we're not going to be staring at each other. So that's kind of foreign to us. So understand where we're coming from, ladies. But men, understand where that women are coming from. You need to look at them in the eyes to let them know that you're listening. This is a kind of a cute example, I think. Several years ago, we were at a baseball game, Cardinals game, with another couple, and I had gotten the tickets from the Learjet salesman, right, because they were trying to, we ended up buying an Embraer, did I say that right, Embraer, a Brazilian-made airplane on our next purchase, but the Learjet guy's trying to sell us a Learjet, right, so he gives us these tickets to the Cardinals. It's in the Bank of America suites, and it's the first, it's in, all inside, first seats right up against the glass, and so me, the two girls, and the other husband are like that. And the girls are literally like this, talking to each other during the game. And the other husband and I, we're kind of like, you know, I got him in my peripheral vision, and we're talking over the girls a little, but we're still watching the game. So all of a sudden, there's this great big cheer, and of course, the other husband and I, we saw what happened. And the girl's like, what happened? I go, well, David Freese just hit a grand slam home run. You know, how often do you get to see that? Well, the girls missed it. But kind of a good example of, you know, how we relate. Okay. All right. So here are some suggestions. These are from the book. And I say a lot of these I think are really good. Some pertain more to your spouse than others. But your wife feels close when you hold her hand, you hug her, you are affectionate without sexual intentions. You are with her alone so you can focus on each other and laugh together. You go for a long walk or a jog, anything that results in togetherness. You seek her out. You set up a date night. Maybe you eat by candlelight and you're just at home. Surprise her. She's out shopping or dropping the kids off somewhere. You know, fix her a surprise meal. You go out of your way to do something for her, like run an errand. My wife is so, and if you know my wife, she's very efficient and she's very fast. So I'm sitting at the table, and I've gotten to the point where I like to help clean up, but, you know, I'm finishing a cup of coffee, and the whole thing's cleaned up already. So, I mean, wives, you know, give your husbands a chance to do that a little extra for you. Obviously, if it gets to be close to bedtime and I haven't done anything, well, that's not, you know, that's a problem. On my part, make it a priority to spend time with her. You are aware of her as a person with a mind and opinion. Ask your wife what she thinks about things. Just because you're getting her input doesn't mean that you have to do what she says. Remember, there is the headship of the husband, but you certainly want to value her opinion, get her opinion on things, get her mind about things. Very often she has a perspective that you don't, and you have to be man enough to say, oh, that's a good point, I didn't think about that, and then incorporate it into whatever decision you were trying to make. Let her know how you enjoy discussing things with her and getting her insights. You suggest the unexpected. Get takeout and eat at a park. Take a walk to see a sunset. Pillow talk after making love. Lie close and share feelings. Whatever the two of you enjoy. But guys, don't turn on SportsCenter, right? I mean, I've heard there are some that do that, but not a good Not a good move.
She likes the time to be watching Sports Center.
Well, if you're both into it, it's okay.
Our history channel.
But let me tell you, Brian. While you were talking, Joy's going. Okay. Now from Dawn's list. Wife wants you to connect with her. She wants to be together. She wants to talk. Ask her questions. Questions about her, maybe what her quiet time or what's going on in her life outside of, you know, when you're not around. And talk about yourself. Tell her how you're feeling about something, how things are going at work or your hobby or whatever. Eye contact shows that you're listening. Okay, so for Dawn, and I think for a lot of you, the eye contact during a conversation proves to the wife that you are actually listening. Okay. The couple is openness. She wants you to open up to her. I think Dawn and I decided that this probably is one of my biggest weaknesses and one of my struggles. And of course, I had a really good excuse. You know, I always felt that. In my position, I had to deal with some difficult issues at the time, and I just didn't want Dawn to have to deal with that, you know, feel bad for me because of whatever was happening at work or whatever. So I instead of just sharing a little bit, I kind of closed up, and I wasn't very open, certainly about things at work and so forth. So now I try and tell her all about my hobbies, and so that helps, right? Okay. Don't be secretly mad at her. She can feel it. There is no reason to do that. Look at one other scripture here, Colossians 3:19. Okay, let's see. Husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. Okay, that's just another reminder from another. That's Paul talking to Colossians. Do not be harsh. Even if your wife does something that, you know, really needs to be corrected, there's no need to be harsh. Of course, some of us with a bit of a temper, sometimes we respond too quickly. So I'd admonish you, as I try to admonish myself, take a minute, take your breath, count to 10, evaluate the situation, and then, you know, don't be harsh when you interact. Women, when they're in conflict, personalize it. They need to talk it out. So we need to learn to be better at apologizing, saying I'm sorry, and asking for forgiveness. And again, remember, in your situation, it might be reversed. I might be talking to the wife in some marriages, and that's fine. But whatever you see is appropriate, that's what you want to do with your spouse. Though this is true, and Jim Hartwig sent me a video, which I hope to play sometime in this class. But it's men, we really do compartmentalize. We've got these boxes, if you want to go with the joke, but we really do have a nothing box. You've probably all heard it, right? In the different comedians and jokes, we can be thinking about nothing. Women, as a rule, cannot. Everything's integrated, right? And everything's there's always something going on. That wasn't a cut. I was just, I think the way it really is. So a man can say, okay, I said this, she said this, it's over, it's done, I'm not mad, I'm not holding anything against her, let's drop it. That's not what the woman wants to hear. And that's not how the woman wants to handle the conflict. It needs to come full circle. And you know what? Maybe your wife was 70% in the wrong and you're only 30% in the wrong. Well, in our case, that's usually not the case. But just in case it is, there's no reason that you shouldn't apologize. Say, I'm sorry. Ask for it for you did. Women in general, then they're going to say, wow, okay, that's great. Well, you know, I shouldn't have done what I did, and I'm sorry. And so it helps to complete that cycle and get everything out in the open. So I think that's a good way to handle that. Yeah.
I think pride, for me personally, I have to fight that.
Yeah.
Say, you know what? I got to take care of when I'm wrong, even though to what extent.
Yep. No, I agree. I think a lot of men, certainly I do, battle with the whole pride thing. Also, you feel like, you know, I'm supposed to be this, you know, shoulder to cry on. I'm supposed to be this rock, right? And so it comes across in my messed up mind as showing weakness. But it's not. It's showing strength to be able to put your pride down, be humble, and ask for forgiveness and apologize. Scott?
The verse about covering up love.
Yeah.
I think from the perspective of a man, sometimes we say that we'll cover it with love.
Yeah.
If it's dry.
Yeah.
You know, where, like you said, the wife wants to bring it up. We have it, I think, well, I can speak for myself. I say it's covered with love. It's done with.
No, I agree. That's a really good point, Scott. And, you know, a lot of times, even with my wife or other people, you get to a certain point, okay, I'm done, it's not a problem. But with your wife especially, and maybe your daughters, you need to go the full circle and get it all out. It is natural. So that's what we said, guys, all these couples, couples, a lot of them are not natural for us because we're sinners. And if Adam and Eve hadn't sinned, it'd all be natural. It'd be wonderful. But we're dealing with that. The men and the women have different situations. Dan?
It's not just covering it with love. I mean, you see boys on the playground, they can be knocking each other's noses off, and 10 seconds later be best friends.
Yeah, and it's kind of a...
just our nature?
It's a man's nature, yep.
To learn to communicate in a way that helps him.
Yep, that's a real good point. Joyce?
Just from my perspective, I guess, that just like you with the boss, it helps you to follow in the same heart of whatever he's asking you to do if you have an explanation. And so women being under a man would like an explanation,
yep,
instead of saying, oh, it's done.
That's a good point. Can I ask why you and Jim aren't sitting together? No, I'm just teasing. I'm just teasing.
Very generous to allow my friend to sit here.
Good job, Jim. Way to show love. Okay. Okay. Yeah. In the bulletin. Yep. And here's a. I think you women are gonna like this one. Question that you have right in your minds: why was he so open during our courtship? Right? Don't we change? I mean, I'm not sure. I don't remember it being a deliberate thing, but, you know, was it kind of like, you know, I've got to win her, I've got to get her, and okay, now I got her, so I can go back to my natural? I don't know what it is, but we need to overcome that. Yeah, I guess the men often feel once he found his dream come true in his wife, contentment sets in. No reason to any more to share or be open, right? You've won the battle, you've got the prize, but that's not the right attitude. But I'm afraid that that's what we do sometimes. Women want to be up to date on the marriage. I went along, this is going back to when we were having issues back in the early 80s. I'm thinking, hey, everything's cool. You know, we're good. I mean, you know, yeah, school's hard and we have a little tiff here and there. You know, women tend to want the marriage to be kept up to date every day, you know, every week, or, you know, some on a regular basis. And us guys, we're just willing to just, hey, everything's good. You know, what do you want for dinner? So we need to be aware of that. There is a tendency for men, they don't want to bother the wife with problems. They don't want to make her worry. And I think that's legitimate, but on the other hand, we have to be open enough to let her know what's going on in our lives, be at work or whatever. So we do need to be more open. The note here, sometimes little things she does bug you and you think she does it to irritate you. You know, that's where, maybe that's good covering with love. it might be irritating, and maybe we can gently say, hey, do you really have to do that all the time? Or whatever, you know, and that goes both ways, I understand. But don't hold on to it. You know, be open, nicely be open about, hey, you know, I wish you could, Mike Wickens isn't here. You know, his example is about how he used to throw the wet towels on the floor all the time, and Virginia wanted them picked up, and anyway. So you got to work those things out between the two, right? let's see. And when the wife is asking questions, it can feel like interrogation, but really she's just trying to find out what's going on in your life. Example that I have is there was a time when Dawn was working outside of the home from 2006 to 2015. She hadn't worked outside the home since 84, and so she's back at work. You know, we got kids in college and all that good stuff. Well, she had an opportunity to work on Saturdays and pick up, you know, a bunch of extra money. We had this deal with her budget, my budget, but not, I mean, they were both shared, and they were both of ours, but she took care of certain things with her budget, and I took care of certain things with my budget. And so whatever she earned extra, she could do, you know, give stuff to the kids or, you know, plan an extra trip or whatever. And so she worked some Saturdays just to do that. So she'd come home and go, well, and, you know, I know she didn't mean it this way, but the way I took it was, so what did you do all day? And again, that's not how she said it, but that's how I took it. And so, you know, she was just trying to find out what was going on. She wasn't going to say, well, you needed this, 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 and this. But sometimes we men, we get our backs up too easily, too quickly. And guys, sometimes it feels like the wife's mothering you, you know, trying to tell you every little thing, and she's really not. But she does want to know that everything's okay. She's kind of saying, I want you to be more open. I want more information about what's going on. That's really normally all she's saying by either being what we might call nagging or mothering or interrogating. She just wants to know what's going on. So be open with your wife. And here's some ideas of what we can do as husbands to make our wives feel that we are more open with her. Share your feelings, telling her about your day and difficulties. And women, if this has been a problem for your husband, don't expect him to go 0 to 60 in one day, okay? Be grateful for the little things, share a little bit, and, you know, maybe it'll grow and grow and grow. But, you know, your goal might be this overflowing all the time, great communication. Just understand that as your husband starts to open up, it may very well be a slow process. And that's okay. Don't discourage him by demanding more. Just thank him for the openness. And I think that kind of an attitude that, wow, she really appreciated that, that's going to have the man, the husband, be more open as time goes on. But it's unnatural for us. So, you know, be patient with us. You say to her, let's talk. You ask her what she's feeling. Ask for her opinions. Your face shows you want to talk. Relaxed body language. Good eye contact. Don't be reading the paper, looking at the TV, having your phone out. Just concentrate on your wife. Just look at her and concentrate on your wife. You take her for a walk to talk and reminisce about how you met, or perhaps you talk about the kids and the problems she may be having with them. Sometimes the wives probably keep the kids' problems from us too, just because they don't want us to get mad or go in there and beat the son, because he deserves it, the way he treated his mother. So just, you know, try and get some information about how her day went and how things went with the kids. Give her your full attention, no grunting responses while trying to watch TV, read the newspaper, or write emails. Pray with her and discuss financial concerns, possible job changes, or ideas for your future. And women, just when the men do come up with these ideas, you know, understand that they might not, the man, the husband, might not be as interested in proceeding on that path as quickly as you are. So just be patient. Let them, you know, form those ideas. And here's a silly example. Don and I, well, we were past our crisis. Our things were really, really doing well. We were out in California. I was in the Navy. And I mentioned to her off the cuff, you know, someday I'd like to have a coffee table with a glass top, you know, just kind of a neat thing. I come home from work, I think literally the next day, and she had found one at a garage sale. I mean, it was a good deal, and you know, it was okay, but I'm just thinking, well, I didn't mean to go out and get one, but, you know, so, and we had it for many years. It was wonderful. It worked out really well, but if it's a bigger deal, women, you might want to make sure that your husband has fully, you know, got the budget and planned for everything for that, whatever it is. Scott?
But also the relationship between you and your spouse really sets an example for your children.
Absolutely.
So really looking at you, how you deal with your spouse,
yep.
How you communicate, what's important in your relationship with your spouse is more important than your relationship with your child.
Yep.
Of course, the relationship with God is the most important.
Right. And we did talk about that in the beginning, that, you know, too many divorces, even Christian homes, have come because the husband and wife were both keyed on the kids. Once the kids left, there was nothing. So, yeah, your earthly relationship, your most important earthly relationship is your spouse. And, of course, God, your spouse, your kids. But you want to raise those kids to leave, not to stay. Okay. And then from Dawn's list, which will take us pretty close to the end here, wife wants to talk about any marital problems when they happen. So, you know, we men, we can take, oh, we had this issue, I'll put it in this box over here. And then we're back to nothing, or our hobby, or our work. But with the women, it's right there. She wants to deal with it right away. So husbands, try and be more willing to, when you see there's an issue, when you know there's an issue, try and work on it right away. At least say, hey, I know there's something here. Let me pray about it and just think about it a little while, and then we can get back together tonight and talk about it. Give her that, at least, if you're not ready to discuss right away. So stay up to date. Don't let things build, and that can prevent bigger problems by letting little problems become really big. The wife asks questions. She just wants information. She doesn't want to control. But to know the husband and his heart and his life better. So women want to know us better. They want to know our heart. They want to know what's going on with us. Their questions are not interrogation. They're not to come back at us and say, oh, see, you did this. They are to get to know us better. They want to connect better. Husbands, don't be embittered. She's different, not wrong, because the way she thinks and goes about things is often different than the way you do. And when the husband talks, don't sound harsh. Okay, so that takes us through the O, and we're just about out of time. So we'll finish up what the men need, the rest of couple, next week, and we'll start on the women, and we'll spend about half of next week and the following week on what you women can do for your husband. So thank you very much.